SCTV.
In Luke 12, chapter 1, a throng of 10,000 being assembled so as to be trampling one another, he begins to be saying to his disciples, first, take heed to yourselves of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy, the leaven of the Pharisees. And later, our apostle says in Galatians 5, 9, a little leaven is leavening the whole kneading. Galatians 5, 9, Paul is talking there about the circumcision coming in and talking the Galatians out of grace. And it took less than 5 minutes. That's why Paul says a little leaven is leavening the whole kneading. Just a little bit. And I know people who just, it's going to go to church for a little bit. They're just going to check out this book for a little bit. They're just going to read this for a little bit. And they're just going to dabble in this philosophy a little bit. And unless you are rooted and grounded in the truth. No, even if you're rooted and grounded in the truth. We are not called upon to experiment with other teachings, to check out other sources. I say this again and again, and I'm passionate about it because of a comment somebody made on a video a few days ago, maybe last week, about the old pre-existence argument. Now, I'm going to get to that at the end. It's nothing new. Don't worry. I'm not going to offend too many people here, but it's this so-called open-mindedness that will steal what you have. And you walk into it. You entertain it for a moment. And Paul is aware of this. Leaven is this stuff that makes bread rise. In this case, and every time leaven is mentioned in Scripture, it's a bad thing. It's not a good thing. And the principle is just a little bit of it makes the whole kneading rise. It's amazing stuff. So is falsehood. It's amazing stuff. Just a little bit of it will screw up everything. I was telling you yesterday about don't touch the glory. Remember my wife's cousin Marge told me that. And it could be that she said it this way. Touch not the glory. Or maybe the King James method. Touch thou not the glory. For on the day thou touchest the glory to die, thou shalt be dying. Yeah, she could have said that. But that got me to thinking about the touch. About leaven. About one touch. And there's good examples of one touch. There's bad examples in Scripture of one touch. By the way, I never introduced myself. This is Martin Sender, and you're at MZTV, and I'm very protective of the truth. Someone asked me a half hour ago to read an article by Aaron Welch and to comment on it. It was an article where Aaron Welch says that something like God did not justify all humanity. Well, I shouldn't, I can't remember what it was. It seemed like another absurdity, like what? Anyway, it seemed to be, the reason this person wanted my take on it is because, oh, Martin, this doesn't seem right. Well, of course it doesn't seem right. But why would you even dabble in it? The whole non-preexistence crowd dabbles in philosophy. Why would we even dabble in it? Why should someone want me to read it and comment? I said, no, I'm not going to read it. It's so easy for me to say that these days. It used to be I had to apologize. I'm sorry, I know you want me to read this, and I know I should. Or somebody sends me a video. Martin, you got to listen to this guy. He's so wrong. And most people that send me videos want me to see how wrong somebody is. And I always say, no, I'm sorry, I'm not going to watch it. Send me a Led Zeppelin video or a Beatles video. But I'm not going to watch somebody being wrong theologically. For one thing, I can't stand the error. For another thing, I mean, I don't think that I could be seduced out of what I believe. But on the other hand, none of us are immune to seduction. And Paul warns the saints in Colossians 2:8. Let's go there. Colossians 2, verse 8. Beware that no one shall be despoiling you. I've mentioned this verse many times, robbing you through philosophy and empty seduction. There's something to it. It's not empty. The seduction is certainly not empty, but the philosophy behind it is, in accord with human tradition, in accord with the elements of the world, and not in accord with Christ. This is another leaven. This is another small thing. As I told you, my son Luke had 18 years of scriptural training thrown out with 1 year. It's probably 1 week of philosophy. Could have been the first day. Probably was the first day. The first day of my son's philosophy class. Miami University of Ohio. I forget where it was. Out there in Western Ohio. Probably the first day they talked him out of it. Because it's like gangrene. Paul talks about, let's go here. 2 Timothy 2, 15 through 19. 2 Timothy 2, 15. Endeavor to present yourselves to God qualified, an unashamed worker, correctly cutting the word of truth. How do we do that, Paul? Here's how, verse 16. Yet from profane prattlings stand aloof. People who are just yapping about different things, like the Mars Hill people, the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers at Mars Hill. That's what I think of when I read this verse. For they will be progressing to more irreverence. And we're in that day. And people are just not satisfied with the truth. They want to hear something new. It's the Mars Hill syndrome. They want to hear something new. And their word will spread as gangrene. There it is, gangrene. One touch and you're done. Leprosy. One touch and you're done. Of whom are Hymenaeus and Philetus. You know these guys who swerve as to the truth, saying that the resurrection has already occurred. That's all they did. They said the resurrection has already occurred. And this was Philetus, and he says, Hymenaeus here has written a 1,000-word article about why the resurrection has already occurred. Never mind Paul telling you that the resurrection is future. Hymenaeus here, being a man of many words, has written a stupendous article that we want you to read. And Martin Zenner, we want you to read it and comment on it. Nope, not going to read it. I'm going to stand aloof from it. Swerve as to the truth, saying the resurrection has already occurred and are subverting the faith of some. These people with these philosophies won't subvert the faith of all, but they will subvert the faith of some, which is tragic enough. But I don't want any of these things or any of these people to subvert your faith. As I told you before, I have a friend in Virginia who now doesn't believe that Revelation belongs in the scripture. Why? Because she didn't hold the truth. Like that one person who commented on my site, I hold the truth with open hand. Oh my God, you hold the truth with an open hand. That's what my friend did, held the truth with an open hand. Didn't take it real seriously. You have to wonder, what truth does she take seriously? You start to wonder if this person will read anything. She was given a book by somebody, a busybody, I guess, who has nothing better to do than to explore alternative truths. The Revelation doesn't belong in the scripture. You know, maybe Romans doesn't belong in the scripture. I'm sure there's a book written on that. Maybe Paul is a false apostle. I know there are books written on that. Let's read those books. Martin, would you read that book about Paul being a false apostle? What do you think of that? Well, you don't want to know what I think about it. Well, I'm telling you what I think about it, but I'm doing it in polite terms right now. 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 through 18. Do not become diversely yoked with unbelievers, for what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness? What agreement has Christ with Belial, that is, the disintegrator? What part of believer with an unbeliever? Now, what occurrence has a temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, according as God said, that I will be making my home and will be walking in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Verse 17, wherefore, come out of their midst and be severed, the Lord is saying, and touch not the unclean. Touch not, because one touch will do it. One touch is enough. A little leaven is leavening the whole lump. And the reason I thought of this, I'm sorry to bring this up, but the reason I thought of this is because Mark Haukes and Paula had mentioned a certain professor that it appears they got this non-preexistence of Christ thing from. And somebody made a comment and said, boy, I guess that even a little bit of Bible college is too much. And well, there it is. Yes, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. A little bit of Bible college. Like, I would put a perimeter, like police tape around any Bible college. I would do it like they put a perimeter around Mount Sinai. Exodus 19, 12 and 13. Put limits for the people around the mountain. Be careful that you do not go up the mountain or touch the foot of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. He shall surely be stoned or shot with arrows. Not a hand is to be laid on him, whether man or animal. He shall not be permitted to live. Woo! Touch the mountain. Do you remember what happened when Uzzah touched the Ark of the Covenant, which was forbidden? Only the Levites could handle the Ark, carry it on the poles. They were bringing it back from the Philistines. The ox who were pulling the carts where the Ark of the Covenant was were stumbling. Apparently, this account doesn't say that the Ark was about to fall over, but this Uzzah guy took it upon himself. Going to be the hero. I don't know. It was just instinct or whatever. He touched the Ark of the Covenant. One touch, struck dead. One touch, struck dead. I would put police tape around any Bible college, around any university in America, any college. I put police tape around it. Touch not the unclean thing. If I saw a book that said, Revelation doesn't belong in Scripture, I put police tape around it. Do not come near this mountain. Whoever comes near this mountain is in danger of believing this shit. There you go. And the guy who wrote the book about the book of Revelation not belonging in Scripture also wrote a book. Same guy. I'm not going to give you his name. I can't think of it offhand. He wrote a book about how God communicated with the high priest back in the day. You know the gems on the breastplate of the priest are 12 gems. I don't know what they are, but there's 12 of them. Well, according to this guy, there are certain elements in these gems that God used to broadcast, that the priests actually listened to God through the gems on the breastplate of the priest. I'm like, what? And my same friend who believed this man's nonsense about the revelation not belonging to Scripture, said, well, it could be. That's what I said. If Aaron Welch wrote an article that said Jesus Christ was born in Newark, New Jersey, I guarantee it'd be so goddamn convincing that even members of the body of Christ would read it. They Aaron made some good points, Martin. Martin, I want you to read this article. Let me know what you think about it. Huh? Jesus Christ was born in Newark, New Jersey? Well, I know, it goes against traditional thinking, but, you know, Christians believe it, so it can't be right. Jesus. Where does it end? To show you the era we're in, this stuff's ridiculous. But in Paul's day, you know, that was ridiculous too. The resurrection has already occurred. How the hell could that teaching take hold? I guess people were just as malleable, gullible, just as open-minded. An open mind is a vacant mind. Our mind needs to be filled with Scripture, not filled with other people's ideas about Scripture. Then nobody should read your books, Martin. Well, technically, all you need is the Word of God. I told somebody just today, I said, I didn't trust Aaron Welch anymore after what he did to Philippians chapter 2. You know, saying that Christ emptied himself, taking the form of humanity. That didn't happen until he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. So he was in the form of God before? He was in the form of God up until Gethsemane when he was shitting in the manger in Bethlehem. He was in the form of God. He didn't come to be in fashion as a human until Gethsemane, so he wasn't a human. In Joseph's carpenter shop. That's complete bullshit. And after I saw how Aaron bent those passages to me and what they say, I started to say that I don't trust it. It's a shame, too, because Aaron Welch, he had a great reputation until this. But anybody who would do what he has done with Philippians 2, in my mind, they're done. You can't trust them anymore. It's a little leaven leavens the whole lump. A little leaven. I said, and this man said, well, you're just saying that you don't like a lot of words. I said, no, it's not that at all. And the guy mentioned my book, First 80 in Heaven. There's a lot of words there, Martin. I said, yeah, but I'm amplifying the scriptures. I'm amplifying what the scriptures say. If anywhere in that book, I am obviously torturing a passage to make it say something I want it to say, then a little leaven leavens a whole lump. That would ruin the whole freaking book. It's using words to, and it does take a lot of words to do this, it's using words to change, to alter a well-understood, easy-to-read, easy-to-grasp truth. That's when I am against the multiplicity of words. I'm all for multiplicity of words. Write a 200,000-word book explaining the glories of the salvation of all. I'm all for it. Make it 300,000. It's not the number of words. It's the fact that it takes a hell of a lot of words to explain away simple verses. Put a police tape around the articles. Don't let people in. Police tape around Aaron's article. Police tape around Bible College. Police tape around every college in America. Police tape around books claiming that the book of Revelation does not belong in Scripture, or that God talked to the high priest through radio signals. Can you imagine? The high priests are getting instruction from God. Place the fire pan on the altar. Move away. Take the perfume from the altar of incense. Place it on the table in front of the holy place. More instructions after this word from our sponsor. Are you tired of rolling up your scrolls and having them crack and bend and break? Well, you need not suffer anymore. And the priest is dialing in the... Oh, isn't this dialing in his... Oh, you got to put that amethyst closer to the carbuncle up there or whatever. You got to put... Okay, now, coming in clear. What are you picking up? 114.6. Absolutely crazy. Uzzah. I'm not saying these people don't mean well. My friend just wants to learn more. Yeah, everybody wants to learn more. But I would have us be, and Paul would have us be, rooted and grounded in the truth. Don't touch the holy mountain. Yeah, that was a good one. Here's a good one. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 33, 34. Evil conversation corrupts kind characters. Evil conversation corrupts kind characters. You can have a kindest character in the world. This, let me tell you just a short story. When I worked for the post office, I was a kind character, you know. When I went in there, I was like, dee, 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 dee. There were some rough dudes working there, and I could tell that their attitudes and their ways were seeping into me. I know it was of God. I was there supporting my family, and it was a God thing, but I just noticed that if I made any decision that would remove me from evil conversations, that it would be a good decision. It's better to make a decision that, based on following a passion like I wanted to do. But even if you're working for somebody, or if you're in a situation where you have to put up with evil conversations, get out and God will honor that decision. God will honor that decision. Touch not the unclean thing. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. And on the opposite end, there's the woman with the hemorrhage who touched the hem of Jesus's garment. Just one touch, and she was healed. So there's the positive thing. Just as one touch of a falsehood will infect you, and then you have to have count on your friends to drive it out of you, to cure you, to heal you. It's like, thus, one touch of God, one touch of the truth, is actually more powerful. But the power of the falsehood is considerable. As Mark Twain said, I might be paraphrasing him, a lie travels twice around the world before the truth is even tied its shoes. Yeah, Yeah, truth is slow. Truth is methodical. The lies are exciting. The lies are adrenaline producing. The lies are something you're able to tell your friends. Did you hear about the all humanity's not really justified? Did you hear that revelation doesn't belong in the scripture? I have secret information. Listen to this. It's gossip. It's freaking gossip. We believe that Jesus Christ pre-existed all our lives, but somebody heard in Bible college that he didn't. Now, we're mavericks for believing him? No. We've been deluded and deceived, but we're here for each other, and we stick together, and we help each other, and as I've said before, none of us are immune to deception. None of us are immune. But hold fast to the truth, and touch not the unclean thing.